There's a public hearing next week regarding the need for parental consent when a minor wants to have an abortion in the state of Connecticut. This is a bill that was reintroduced and has been pushed forward by State Representative Brian Lanoux, who shared more about the legislation and how you can have your voice heard in an upcoming public hearing on it.
This legislation is very important, and you know, in the state of Connecticut, a girl under the age of 18, if she's, or a boy, if they want to get their ears pierced, you need a mom or dad to give parental consent to that. If a 17-year-old senior in high school has a headache and wants a Tylenol, you need to give parental consent. You need to have a written signed form from a parent saying, They give their permission. But yet in the state of Connecticut, if a girl is even as young, 11 years old, even younger, is pregnant, and she can be taken for an abortion, and parents don't even have to be notified. So in other words, not even being told, hey, your child is going to be scheduled for an abortion in the next couple of days. That's unacceptable. 38 other states across our country, there's obviously legislative consensus for this, that parental notification is a requirement, either parental notification or consent. We're going for that lower standard. We're going for notification, simply letting parents know what's going on with their kids. I think it's pretty straightforward, and it needs to happen.
So, Representative Lanoux, my understanding is that the General Assembly's Judiciary Committee has agreed to hold a public hearing on this. When is that happening?
Yes, it's going to be Monday at 10 a.m. So people are more than welcome to come up to the Legislative Office Building. You can submit written testimony ahead of time or even after the hearing. You do have to sign up. I believe it's by 3 o'clock the day before. So I encourage you to do that as soon as you can. It is out on my platforms, the links to sign up and testify. Folks from all four corners of the state can certainly testify. You can come in person, or you can also do it virtually on the Zoom format.
And just so people know who are listening right now, I will provide the link. I'm going to put it with Representative Lanoux's podcast when we post it to our website, voiceofct.com, after the show. So, Representative Lanoux, let's talk through this a little bit. First of all, I thought you had some really great examples of if you want to get your ears pierced, you got to have the thumbs up from mom and dad. I didn't realize that, actually, that you had to have the approval from mom and dad, even if you want to use, you're right, even over-the-counter medication, if you go into a regular pharmacy and you want to be able to, get like a type of Tylenol or whatever it may be, you have to have an adult give you the green light to be able to have that. So it is interesting. Has this always been the case? Has it always been that if, you know, someone, a minor, wants to get an abortion, that they did not need the at least the acknowledgement, like their parents had to know about it? Has that always been state law?
I believe it was that they did away with parental notification, I believe, in 1990.
I wonder why. Like, why did they do that? Do you know why?
Well, I was a little young. I was 8 years old at the time, so I think it was a little before I was involved in politics and public policy. But I know it was right around that time. That's when we had the Casey decision, Casey versus Planned Parenthood, and there was some part of that ruling was I think they said in there that states can have parental notification, right, for abortion. However, you need to have a judicial bypass. So those exceptions where there's physical abuse, sexual abuse, unfit parents in some way, that the minor can petition a court for that waiver in those very rare exceptions.
So that was kind of what I was going to say, is I would imagine one of the biggest reasons that this was allowed, basically, was because of if you came from an abusive household, for example. Because I think I've even heard, I want to say maybe the first go around, it might have been the second go around, when Governor Lamont was going up against his Republican counterpart for the gubernatorial race. This was a huge sticking point. I remember for the Republican Party was, you know, having the parents more involved. And the big counter argument from Governor Lamont at the time was, but if the kids are not in a safe environment, or it's an abusive environment, or there's going to be, you know, this is not going to be good for them, it's not a healthy place for them, then, you know, we don't need to let, you know, mom and dad know necessarily. So I didn't know if you could kind of outline why anyone would be, I guess, against it. Is it still that case that you're worried about, you know, the backlash from parents that they are not told? And is there a way that there could be a compromise in this, like a guardian who the state says, yes, this person is okay to give clearance to that? I don't know. You know, is there a compromise here, or is that still the case, why it hasn't been changed since 1990?
Yeah, I certainly can't get in the head of every single, you know, legislative leader. However, I can say this, that the legislation before us, I would like to see it tweaked, because of course the committee did draft it, but it does call for a judicial bypass, which, by the way, is no longer required because, as we know, Casey got overturned with the Dobbs decision. However, I still think we need to have a judicial bypass. So what the language calls for is, in the event that a minor declares to the physician that they come from an abusive home, or God forbid it was an ancestral relationship, or any of these type of terrible situations, they can file for that parental notification waiver. So then what they would look at is, okay, is there a sibling over a brother or sister that's over the age of 21 that is fit to be their guardian for this particular matter, or if there's no sibling that's fit, a step parent or a grandparent, and then after that the court would look at perhaps a GAL, or, you know, a different adult altogether. But the idea is somebody close to the child, somebody close to this minor girl, that can help them and guide them through that decision in these rare cases. And I think it's important to know, you know, with the judicial bypass, 38 states have either consent or notification. And across these different states, less than 10% of the time does a minor petition a court for a bypass. And that's where the judge can evaluate the evidence and decide, you know, based on the different state standards.
I think you also bring up something really important there, Representative Lanoue, which is that the decision to terminate a birth is not a light one. I know that maybe when people watch the news or they get on social media, I mean, the idea of an abortion has become so, like, we just kind of toss that around like it's no big deal. But I know people personally who have had to make that gut-wrenching decision, and it's not one that you just make, you go to the office, and it's over. And it's not a matter of if people agree with it or they don't. That's not what I'm talking about, because everyone has that right to either say they do or don't agree with it. I think that's a personal choice if you feel you agree with that. My point being, though, is that this is not a decision that the average person makes and they just move on the next day. Like, this is something that really sits with somebody. And so when you're talking about 11, 12, 13, 14, 15, even a 17-year-old that has to go through this process or decides this is the process they want to go through, this is not something that they can do, honestly, without some kind of support. And so I think even if you feel like you are... you know, for abortion, but maybe the parents aren't, and that's not safe for them, I think there needs to be someone supporting that young girl through that decision. Like, bar anything, there needs to be more, I would think, protection in place for the person who decides that this is the route they need to take for whatever reason. And I think without having some kind of sign off from someone, again, I don't know if a parent, I can understand if you're coming from an abusive household, but someone has to have oversight, just so that the person who's going through the abortion then also has support afterwards, because it's not a one and done thing. This, I mean, there are people I know, Representative Lanou, that had an abortion when they were younger, and now 40 years later, they still think about it. Like, that's a real thing. You know what I mean? Yeah. And so I think that that has to be something thought about, too, is that the importance of having consent from an adult is also from a supportive standpoint, that kid has to live with that.
Right. And the way the legislation's laid out is, number one, it has to be the parents, right? That's who we start with. That's where it's crucial. Again, in there's a carve out exception for what we talked about, but nobody understands their daughters better than mom and dad, right? A mother or fathers do not understand. You cannot replace that. And 90% over 90% of our kids come from great homes, non-abusive homes, and there should not be a substitute for parents in all those cases. And you're absolutely right. You're spot on, Melissa. The a number of adolescent psychologists, it's pretty widely accepted that your mind's not fully developed, especially on making a lot of long-term decisions, until you're really in your early 20s, right? So these long-term, permanent type lifetime decisions, you don't really have the wisdom, and the brain is just not fully developed until you're in your early to mid 20s. Again, a lot of adolescent psychologists will tell you that. And to put a 12 or 13 year old girl in the position to say, okay, you don't have to tell mom or dad, and you just and they're going to make this permanent decision with God knows who, is disturbing. You know, we have to make it. And you're right. Women I have talked to, I've known her, and they have had other children. They say, you know, and also had an abortion. They say, you know, they look at their two kids that they have, and then they see, like, they're wondering where their other child would be if they hadn't had the abortion. And they think about that, like you said, 20, 30 years later. So that's a real thing. So regardless what way, what decision the girl's ultimately going to make, you need to have a mother or father guiding that child, and nobody understands the psychology, the emotional makeup, that child like mom or dad.
Well, Representative Lanou, again, I want to thank you so much for highlighting this and bringing it to our airwaves. I am going to put a link if people want to give testimony, or if they want to be there in person or do it online, they can. I'll put that with your podcast, which we'll post on voiceofct.com. And thank you so much for your time. Let us know what happens after the public hearing.
Very good. I look forward to it. Thank you, Melissa.
Absolutely. And again, thank you for joining the show for the first time. I hope it's not the last. State Representative Brian Lanou right here on WICC.